today on the unofficial Shopify podcast, we will be discussing apps. Yes, apps are always top of mind, a thing we always talk about with Shopify, that app store. You know, there's an app for that, whatever feature you want to add, integration, analytics and reporting, there's always some app that could do it. So as a Shopify merchant, you know, many times you live and die by your apps. And that's why on social media you see posts about like, this is the perfect tech stack to build an e-com business. And it's really just like, here's a list of apps. Everybody loves going to the app store and playing app roulette. If I just get the right combination of apps, then maybe, you know, I will grow my conversion rate 20%. I'll make more sales. I'll increase average order value. There is an attraction to it. And so we're going to be discussing apps from the perspective of an app developer. And we're going to hear like, okay, what's that process like? How do you find the app? How do you scale the app? Let's get into it and kind of hear that other side of the story with apps. You know, we've always looked at it from like, all right, I'm a merchant. This is what I use. Now let's hear it from a Shopify app developer who also happens to be a Shopify app evangelist who makes all this great content about developing apps and scaling them and really being very candid and sharing his journey. So joining us from Paris is Matt D'Souza, a man who's he's been through a few apps and his most recent app, Wide Bundle, and I think he has another one. We'll find out. But I know their annual revenue, recurring revenue, oh, sweet, sweet recurring revenue, over $500,000 a year US. Whoa, that's quite good. That certainly does better than any of my apps. I'm your host, Kurt Elster.
Check nasty.
Matt D'Souza, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, in my intro, did I get everything right? Do we have any corrections?
We have everything. We can say the name of the second app, which is Wide Review, but it's Wide way Review. Smaller than Wide Bundle.
Okay. And how long have you been developing Shopify apps? When did you start?
I started in 2017, actually.
2017?
I was a student at that time. Yes.
Yeah, you're a young man. How old would you have been?
So I'm 26 today, and I started when I was 20, I think, something like this.
So are you in university?
Yeah, I was actually studying engineering in school, and that's when I discovered Shopify apps and when I learned how to build them.
And had you had like computer science background prior to then?
No, not at all. This is sometimes what people don't... Like, they think that I did some engineering school to learn how to code and stuff like that, but I didn't. Actually, I learned how to code when I was 13. So I was a child, and it was just for video games. It was like a hobby for me. And I did something completely different because I studied engineering, financial, and stuff like that.
I hope I could get my kids on a similar path. I'm like... They're all, you know, all three of them really interested in video games, really interested in their devices. And so I don't fight it. I encourage it. But I try to get them into the nerdier aspects of things. And so like the oldest, I've gotten him, I found him like editing config files so that he could vaguely cheat at games. And I was so thrilled. I'm like, yes, this is how it starts. I remember that's like how I got interested in development, like you at that age was because of gaming. And so I think gaming is, if you're a parent, you're worried about it, like just treat gaming as the gateway drug to computer science.
Yeah, no, this is a good thing. And actually the story was a bit funny is that I was playing video games and the game I was playing, which is a French game called Dofus, I don't know if you know it, actually they changed a lot of things on the game itself. And many people, including myself, didn't like it anymore. And so we kind of created our own game that was similar to this one. And this is how I entered into the programming thing.
And so then years later, how do you discover Shopify apps? What makes you go, I should build a Shopify app?
So what happened is that in 2017, actually, I was doing the first internship that I had to do for the engineering school. And the problem was that at that time, I wanted to work at a big company like Facebook, Google, or stuff like that. And the first internship that I did, I didn't really like it. It was like, I don't understand why, because the team was good. The work was pretty chill. But the only thing is that I felt like it wasn't for me. And so at that time, I just typed on Google, like how to make money. how to make money online and stuff like this. And this is when I discovered Shopify and all the ecosystem, including everything related to dropshipping and stuff. And I pretty much discovered that many merchants wanted to improve their store. And so that's how I started, just doing freelancing jobs for Shopify merchants. And then once I saw that many people wanted the same thing, I just decided, okay, maybe it's time to build an app so that many people can use it. And I just have to code it once and to build it once, and many people can use it at the same time.
So you were doing like development services for Shopify merchants.
Exactly.
And in that, you noticed like there's commonalities. There was a recurring requests. You're like, wait a second, I could make this publicly available, more self-service via an app. I think this is a brilliant way to go about it. Because like you are, you know, when you're jumping into it for the first time, you're getting that experience one-on-one with the customers. Nothing more valuable than that by working with merchants. And then you start to see, okay, here are the opportunities. So I'm guessing that Wide Bundle and Wide Review were not your first apps, that you didn't hit it out of the park on the first go. What's the first app?
They were not, actually. So the first app was called Exit Counter. And the goal of that app was basically to check how the visitors on the Shopify store were acting, like checking what they were doing. And based on some behaviors and stuff, we would show them some pop-up so that they would stay on the store.
Exit intent pop-up.
Yeah, kind of similar to that. But the only thing is that it was actually on the checkout. And that was the power of that. Is that it wasn't a checkout, okay. Because at that time, you could add some custom code to the checkout. And so I built my first Shopify app to add some code to the checkout. And so you could check what people were doing. And so on an exit intent and stuff like this, you could show them some discount codes and stuff so that they could stay on the page. And the goal was to increase the conversions. Shopify didn't really like it at that time, but it was kind of allowed.
Right. Yeah. The checkout is a sacred space. Right. They did not and have not loved. We would sideload code into it because you could add like checkout scripts. And so, you could sneak code in it that way with JavaScript. Or if they're on Shopify Plus, checkout.liquid gave you access to it. But then like every 6 months, they're like, by the way, we're going to update this. So you got to redo, whatever changes. It's a little messy. And so today, now we have the more formal methods of checkout extensions. All right. So you've got a checkout specific exit intent app that approved for a listing on the store, but Shopify gives the side eye. You had, there are two others. What were they?
Yes, exactly. So actually for the first app, I couldn't be on the checkout because you could do it, but Shopify didn't really approve it. So I wasn't on the app store in the beginning. And after some time, Shopify did change something and you couldn't add some script anymore to the checkout. So I kind of had to kill this app. And what was great about it is that I didn't build this app myself. I wasn't the only co-founder. I built this app with two other people, and these two other people were Shopify merchants. And so they had the idea for that app. I didn't have the idea. And so we didn't make a lot of money with that app, but we did make some money. I mean, at least more than what I used to make with my businesses and the different apps that I tried to make in the past. And after this one, what I did was I tried to build a second Shopify app. So that Shopify app, the goal of that app was to add some banners on your store because it was the moment GDPR was something in Europe and you needed to display that you were collecting cookies. And so I thought maybe it's time to create a banner app so that people can just install it and display the GDPR banner that you had to put on your store. And so that's what I did because I assumed people would need it. But in reality, no one installed my app. I don't know why, but I guess they didn't really need it. So that was the second app. And the third app
was DOA. Ugh, brutal.
Yeah,
the first
Shopify
essentially was like, that's a no-go.
Yeah, no, exactly, exactly. So the second app didn't work. And so what I did was for the third one, I did the exact same mistakes, basically what I think people would need. And so that one was just to track how the stores on Shopify were updating their prices, what new products they had, basically doing some benchmark about everything that is happening on the Shopify ecosystem. which is a bad idea because Shopify doesn't really like it. And also that no one needed that. But I thought it was cool, so I built it. And no one installed, so I had to kill it also.
All right. So even after that, the three really doesn't work out too well. The first one, you're like, all right, I got a taste of it. This number two and three, no go. And after that, you're like, all right, I'm going to do this a fourth time.
Actually, this is not exactly how it happened. So for the first app, I did make some money. And I thought that I was the best in the world at that, at building Shopify apps. So that's why I built a second one and a third one, and it didn't work. And so when I
beginner,
when
the first I failed, one was beginner's luck.
Yes, exactly, kind of. And also because I was doing this with some co-founders, they were merchants. And so we actually built something that people needed. But for the other ones, since I wasn't a merchant, I didn't know exactly what people needed. And so I just built, I had some ideas, I built it, and no one installed it. So that was the problem. And after the third app, I just quit for maybe 1 or 2 years. I just felt like it wasn't for me. Shopify apps is not good. And for the last one, what happened is that in 2020, I had to do the final internship before graduating and before having to get a real job. But I didn't want to. That wasn't my goal. And my goal was to build a business so that I could live with this business, work on that business instead of having a normal job. And so at that time, I had 6 months and I asked my school, can I just build a company instead of doing the internship? They accepted. And the goal for me at the time was to work during 6 months on a business. And it was like the last step. I had 6 months and I had to make it work so that I didn't have to get a job. And I looked at all the things that I knew, building, coding, Shopify. And I asked myself, what can I do in 6 months? What is the best thing that I can do? And I had a network of Shopify merchants. I had a bit more knowledge about building SaaS businesses. I knew how to build a Shopify app. And so I just told myself, okay, maybe let's give it another try, but this time we'll do things differently.
What were you going to do differently?
So instead of me having the idea and building it, I would have someone else have the idea, someone in the business, in the Shopify store business, and they will give me the idea and I will build it. And this time I will build something that people actually need. And so what I did at that time was that I talked to as many Shopify merchants as possible. And at some point, I noticed that three different people wanted a better bundle app. They wanted a bundle app that didn't exist with a different design, a different way of working. And so I just packed everything and I said, all right, you want a better bundle app? I mean, better in some way. They wanted a different design and stuff. I packed everything and I built it. And so I built it in 2 weeks. So the first version in 2 weeks, just adding everything they wanted, even if it wasn't the best app. The goal was just, I release what they need, we'll see what they say. And so I did it. And I had a few installs because I was building something that people actually needed. And I built something that people already asked for. So I could just contact them and say, hey, I just built this app, you wanted it, what do you think? I did the exact same thing with all the people I contacted. And I said, I built this app, do you want to try it? And 2 weeks after starting, I had, I think it was like 9 users, something like this. So it wasn't big, but it was enough to start. And it was already more installs than I had with the other 2 apps.
So right away, you knew, like, you're like, all right, we're going to start carefully here. We're going to validate the idea. We're going to talk to merchants to get the idea, identify pain points. And then you're closing the loop. You're going back to them and saying, hey, we've got this available. And then when they were willing to try it and had positive feedback, you're like, okay, this time I got it. So you build minimum viable product first. And it only took you 2 weeks.
Yes, only 2 weeks.
And so but it was like real stripped down, much simpler than what it is now. And then as you got them, they're like, okay, we like this, but it needs to do X, Y, Z. And then I assume it's like, all right, you look for the overlap of people request it. You know, like this is the number one most requested feature. We add that.
Yes, this is exactly what I did. And actually, the MVP was like a real MVP. It means that it was working only for 4 Shopify themes, 4 different Shopify themes. And it wasn't working if you had many variants. It means that you didn't have to, like, you needed a product without any variants, without any options. Because what I did was I talked to the different people who needed it. I saw what they were selling and what themes they were using. And so I just built for them, because the goal was just, let's try this. It's not working for everyone. And as I was getting more people, I was just adding more themes and making it better so that more people could use it. That was the goal. Just make it work for a few people. And this is what I did.
Hey, Shopify sellers, listen up. Get ready to unleash your creativity with the brand new landing page builder from Zipify Pages. This isn't just Zipify's biggest update ever. It's a revolution in building Shopify store designs. Say goodbye to clunky designs and hello to total customization. With Zipify's new builder, you're the boss of every pixel on your site. Drag, drop, swap elements, it's all in your hands to craft the most effective layout for conversions. Zipify Pages come straight from the founder of a $180 million e-com empire. These templates aren't just pretty, they've been tested in the arena with a nine-figure Shopify store. And it's easy to use. A few clicks and your product pages, marketing pages, blog pages, even your homepage will be looking sharp and conversion optimized for maximum sales. And because these templates are tested in a nine-figure Shopify store first, you know they actually work. So why settle for the standard when you can have a site that's uniquely yours? You could try Zipify Pages and their brand new builder for free for 14 days when you go to zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT to try Zipify Pages for free. And if you tried Pages in the past and thought it wasn't for you, you owe it to yourself to try it again, because the new Zipify Pages is a game changer. Zipify.com/Kurt. Check it out. You're not trying to attack the whole huge problem. You're like, just one step at a time, really segment it. So the two that didn't work out, it was like you launched with a feature complete app, having shown it to no one.
Yeah, this is exactly this. I wanted to the app work.
And so you put in all the work only to find out, well, actually no one was interested in that, but you never asked. So who knew? By the time the fourth one rolls around, you're like, all right, I got this. The number one is identify need in the market. And that was just straight up by asking people. Like when I ask people, I'm like, what app do you want? They don't necessarily know. Like, how do those conversations go? How do you frame that?
Yeah. So this isn't about going to them and asking them, what do you want? What problem do you have? Let me build something. This is more about a conversation. You talk to that person about anything, their business, what they do, what they use. And the goal here is to ask a lot of questions and to go deep into each topic. So whenever they tell you something, you will ask them like, why? Why do you have this? Why do you do that? And at some point, you will discover something like a problem or something that they might need. If they talk about their business and whatever they're doing, at some point they will talk about some problems they faced. And so the goal then is just to understand, is there something that I can build to fix it? Or like, what did you use to fix it? So this is one way of doing it. And the other way, for a Shopify app, for example, since everyone is using Shopify app, I would ask them, what Shopify app do you use? And they will tell me, hey, are you this app, this one? And then what don't you like about this app? Why don't you use something else? And the goal, same thing, is to find some problems or some things that I can improve and just to give me a little window that I can open in, that I can open and just go inside and start building my thing.
I love that. I've done over 500 of these interviews and a majority of them were with Shopify merchants. And it starts with, I identified a pain or problem that was not solved or was not solved well. And then I said, I could solve that. And whether you're selling, you know, a physical good or an app or a service, that's the cornerstone. That is the starting point for so many successful businesses. It's accessible. Anyone who's got email and a phone, right, can do these things. I love that approach for, you know, starting any entrepreneurial endeavor. And, you know, ideally it saves you a lot of wasted time down the road by, you know, you're not chasing ideas that aren't actual problems to solve. you've got two apps at the Shopify App Store now. How often do you have app ideas and you go, all right, I just got to say no to that. Like, don't go building another one right now.
Whenever I talk to Shopify merchants, there is something. Now that I know exactly the process, how do you find ideas? How do you ask questions? What questions do you ask? Most of the time I will have ideas and I will just put it on the side and be like, let's focus on my thing. And it's not because I have ideas that I have to build them and that they will work and stuff like that. Because once you have the idea, you obviously have to check if many people have that problem too, what you could do about it, what exists on the market. But I have ideas not every day, but like maybe every month, I have some ideas. Recently, I was in a French event in Paris with only a few Shopify merchants. And I was talking to that new person. He had a socks business. I don't know if I pronounce it right, but like a socks business in France.
it has to go more nasal. Socks.
Socks. Okay, socks business.
There you go.
All right. And so it was just sharing how he grew it. And I was interested in that. Like I was asking a lot of questions, not because I wanted to find ideas, but just because I was interested, you know. And at some point he told me, and I will probably share something that I never shared before, like Shopify app ideas or stuff. But he shared something related to SMS apps. And I have to look at my notes. But he said something about, oh, in France, we can't really use this. Or like we have this other problem related. Maybe I think it was GDPR. I don't remember. But he said something about there is a problem with current SMS apps. So that we ended up building our own system. And so he was using directly... I think it was Twilio or something like this to send SMS, and he created his own system to send it. And he said that, I can't really use this Shopify apps, and so maybe you can build something. And he said, maybe you can build it. And I said, I can't really do it because I have already these Shopify apps. But I didn't start the conversation, and he told me, hey, I have this problem, build it. It's when talking, during the conversation, we started to talk about it, and he just told me, I have that problem. And so I asked him, like, what is the problem exactly? Why can't you use this app or this one? And this is just about that. And so I have a lot of ideas every time just because you have to talk to people. And when you talk to people, you obviously find some problems that they have that maybe you can fix.
I see this, like often I'll see this in, you know, Facebook group, Slack, Discord, whatever, where someone's like, hey, got this app idea. You know, I know this is a winner, but I'm not technical. I can't build it. And often they're like, you know, I want a technical co-founder. You weren't necessarily thinking of yourself as a developer early on or had access, and you had co-founders. What advice do you have for someone who goes, all right, I want to build an app, but I'm not technical?
Yeah, so you have many ways of doing it. First of all, you can learn all by yourself how to code. But this is not what I recommend, because if you want to code just because you want to build this app and you don't really love coding, the problem is that you will give up because it's complicated and you have to code and code and code to learn how to do it. The second thing is, and this is what I recommend, is partner with a developer. So you are the marketer and you have a developer, and this is probably the best combo, to be honest. Yeah, you are like two co-founders. You have the technical guy, you have the marketer guy. And to find a developer, like sometimes the problem is not, hey, I don't know how to build it. Sometimes it's, I don't know how to find a co-founder, like a technical co-founder. And it's funny because technical founders have the exact problem, but on the other side. I don't know how to find a marketer and stuff like this. And what I tell people, since I know both, you know, I know how to code, but I don't really consider myself a coder because I'm not a good one. I know how to build an app, but I'm not a good one. And I kind of like marketing. I like marketing, and I think this is what I like the most. And I've seen what I did, because when I'm in the coding mindset and the coding state, I will find a lot of developers. It's easy. And at the same time, when I'm doing marketing and I'm in this state of let's do marketing, it's easy to find marketers. And the idea here is that you just have to act like the person you want to attract. And this is funny because if you want to attract developers, then you should start following people that these developers would follow, whether it's on LinkedIn, whether it's on Twitter or YouTube or somewhere else. Start following the people they would follow. Start attending the events that they would attend. Start searching for the things that they would search. And at some point, you will discover where developers aggregate online or offline, and it will be so easy for you to find them, to talk to them, and to find a partner like that. And then it's the same thing. You have to have conversations, you have to talk to them, and at some point you will maybe discover someone with a match, and you will feel like this is the right person. This is just about acting like the person you want to attract. And so you will do things that they will do.
I love this idea. In marketing, we call this holding up the mirror. You know, if someone sees, if they recognize themselves, if like whatever that state of mind is, that need, then they identify with it. And then that's how you go to the next step. And so you're saying, all right, combine that idea with networking online, and you will naturally attract the type of person and the opportunities you're looking for. There's a TED talk I love that I've heard this described as creating a luck sale. You can manufacture opportunities so you can create luck for yourself. And you're doing that by just making yourself seen and making it obvious to everyone else, like, this is what I'm open to. This is the opportunities I'm looking for. And, you know, I'm walking the walk and talking the talk. And it works surprisingly well. Obviously, if you stay silent and no one is aware, you're not going to see those opportunities. So, all right, I build the app myself, I've got a co-founder, I've validated the idea, I've got it in the app store, you know, and that's like, you know, we could do a whole 10 minutes just on talking about going through that app store review process, which it's not as bad as people say. It's like, you know, they're going to tell you, okay, this is what you need and why. And then you go, okay, we have made those changes, or they're reasonable. If you go, we've made 4 of your 5 changes, but number 5, we didn't, but here is the reason why. And they'll either go, oh, okay, we understand. Or they'll say, all right, well, you know, here's why you still need to do that. Or here's like the alternative workaround. And so, you know, you go through one, you know, a few rounds of that, you're good to go. How long does that process typically take from like you submit the app to it gets listed in the app store? Because Shopify, I mean, they really vet all these apps.
So in the beginning, like a few years ago, it took a really long time because I think the team wasn't as big as today. And so you could be in the process for 3 months because the first time you would submit it and you would have to wait like 2 weeks before getting the first feedback. And then you make all the changes. You submit again. 1 week later, they come back to you with sometimes new things that you have to change. And so it could take a long time. Today, I've heard people who submitted some apps and the app was listed in 2 days. Sometimes it was 1 week, 2 weeks. But I've heard someone recently, in 2 days, they had a new app from submission to being listed on the App Store. It was only 2 days. So I think today, in one or two weeks, you can have your app listed if you can make the improvements and the changes quickly, obviously. Because if they ask you to change something and it takes you 1 month to make it, then it will take some time. But if you can make it quickly and then submit again, then you can be in the process for a week and it can be enough.
Yeah, it really, I have found it to be fairly straightforward and not as long as people think. So once you have the app in the App Store listed and live, it's not set it and forget it. How do we attract merchants to get installs? What strategies have you found effective for growth?
Yeah. So the first thing is that people sometimes think that they have to build the app, release on the App Store, and then they can leave it here and people will naturally come. This isn't true. And this is what I recommend people to find merchants outside the Shopify App Store in the beginning. The same way as I did, you know, you talk to people, you make some connections on LinkedIn, on Twitter or somewhere else, and you just find your early users that way. This is how I found the 9 first users for White Bundle. And what is great about that is the moment you launch on the App Store and you have these people, you can immediately ask them to leave a review on the App Store. I mean, they can try your app, they can do whatever they want, but then they can leave a review on the App Store. And if you have a new app and you start to get many reviews in the beginning, for example, you get like 5 reviews quickly, then you will already be ahead of the majority of the Shopify apps. And the algorithm of the Shopify App Store will basically say, all right, it's a new app, it already gets some reviews, this is probably a good Shopify app, and we will push it. So you might appear on the homepage, you might appear in the Shopify recommendation section that you have in the different Shopify admin, and basically you will start to get people. And then you need to do like any places like Google or any app store, you have to improve your keywords, you have to create your listing so that you can attract the people that type the right keywords, so you get reviews. Then obviously you will improve your images so that when people click on your listing, they want to install your app based on what you're showing. So you will improve that. And then you can do some marketing outside the Shopify App Store, because the Shopify App Store today is a bit more crowded and it's more complicated to grow only with the Shopify App Store. But if you're doing something on the side and you have the Shopify App Store, then it's a great combo and a great combination that you can use. But the thing is, just try to get some early traction outside so that you can push it to the Shopify App Store and start to get traction from the Shopify App Store itself. And then you can grow like that, because many people still search on the Shopify App Store, and so you can get some installs.
This episode is sponsored in part by Cleverific. How many times have you had to deal with the headache of a customer needing to change their order after it's been placed? Isn't it a hassle to manually adjust order details like shipping addresses or pant sizes? Well, what if I told you that those days could be over? That's where Cleverific comes in. With Cleverific, you can empower your customers to make their own changes through a self-service portal, or make it easier for your team to handle those complex adjustments directly from the back end. Peter Manning, New York, cut their order support queries by a staggering 99% after integrating Cleverific. And they're not alone. Cleverific is designed to reduce customer support tickets, ship orders faster, and even reduce returns and lost packages. Listeners of this show get 50% off Cleverific's Pro plan, dropping your cost to just $49 a month with full access to all of their features. Just go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use the promo code podcast50 at checkout to claim your discount. Streamline your operations with Cleverific, dramatically cut down on customer support inquiries, expedite shipping, and minimize returns. Cleverific.com/unofficial. The Shopify App Store has its own PPC ads you could pay for.
Yes.
Have you had any experience with those?
So I tried some ads, but this isn't something that I use, because at that time when I tried them, and still today, they are really expensive. So based on the keywords you want, like the most popular keywords, they are really expensive. And since you pay whenever someone clicks on the ad and not when someone installs your app, it can be really expensive quickly. And it doesn't mean that people will install and use your app. Some people had success with Shopify apps by targeting by targeting long tail keywords, so that you go after the very specific keywords people will type, so you know that when they type it, they will install your app. If you have some money, obviously you can run some ads, because it allows you to get some users in the beginning. But recently, Shopify has been releasing new ads, so you can now do ads on the homepage. At Shopify Edition this year, in winter, they said that they were releasing different ways of making ads, and you can target like locally and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, the longer phrases, more exact match, lower quantity, higher quality is the idea. Yes. Yeah, the way you described, so I have run and I'm still running PPC ads in the Shopify App Store, and the way you described it, that's been fairly accurate to my experience. That's like the longer keyword phrases on the higher dollar apps, then it makes sense. Lower dollar app or like broader stuff or more crowded, suddenly it's like, well, this may or may not be worth it. So again, you know, the answer is it depends. Same as really
yes, any always.
Advertising opportunity. you've got, oh, you have so many reviews on these apps. We live and die by the reviews, and you have positive reviews. What's the secret? When do you ask for reviews? Especially early on, like people are less likely to install an app that has no reviews or very few reviews.
Yeah. So the first thing is that people sometimes are afraid of asking for a review. This is the biggest problem, I think. It's like, no, this guy has been using the app for only a week. I should wait a little bit before asking for a review. I think this is the problem. You don't want to ask for a review because you think that they have to wait a little longer to leave that review. Or you think that they will leave, for example, a 3-star review because they didn't try the app for a long time. This is the problem. You should ask for a review even if they spent, if they've spent like one day with your app. It doesn't matter. Because what matters is the experience they have. And they can try your app for a day and already love it. And the problem is that the reviews on the app store are a bit weird. Sometimes someone can use your app for like a year. They've been using your app for a year, but one day there is a problem. Your app is not working for some reason. And this is the moment they will decide to leave a review. And a bad one, obviously.
You get that 1-star frustration review.
Exactly.
And it's usually like, for me, it'll be like, you know, they left it at 1 a.m. I'm like, I know you were tired, you were frustrated, and you vented on my review. And then so then you have to reply to it and be like, okay, we reached out. We're trying to help. And if you're lucky and you can resolve it for the person and they're reasonable, they'll revise the review and, you know, be like, okay, they fixed it for me. If you're unlucky, the worst case scenario is you resolve the problem for them and then they still don't revise the review. Oh, that one stings. Oh, that's rough.
That's the problem. And sometimes they don't even reply. You try to reach out and they don't reply. And so you
just
have to deal with it.
I'll call them, I'll leave voicemail.
Yeah, no, sometimes that's complicated. And so to get a lot of reviews, first of all, if you're not afraid of getting bad reviews, you have to ask for reviews. And so they will leave bad reviews when they're frustrated. This is something important to know. People will leave bad reviews when they're frustrated and not when they're angry. This is the difference, is that people are angry when something isn't working well or they didn't expect something, but they're angry and they feel like their problem can be solved. And when it's the case, they will not leave a bad review if they're just angry. Some will, but the majority of the people will not leave a bad review when they're angry. What they will leave a bad review when they're frustrated. And frustration comes after someone was angry. So they were angry, they didn't have the problem solved, and so they go into another state, which is frustration, because it's like when you're angry, but you feel like it's hopeless. You can't do anything else. They can't solve your problem. And so they have frustration, and that's exactly when they will leave the bad review. And so if you ask for a review when someone is not frustrated, even if they're angry or stuff, you don't ask for a review, but if someone is angry, for example, you can fix the problem. It will be great. They won't leave a bad review. It's only if you can't fix the problem and they were angry that they will leave the review because they are now frustrated. And so to get a lot of reviews, you just have to ask for the review at the best time. And the best time is the contrary, when they had that spike of happiness and usually after the aha moment. And the best aha moment is after you solved a problem, question or something on support. So they contact support, they have a question, you fix that problem, whatever it is, but like they have this spike of happiness, and that's exactly when you can say, all right, hey, do you love the app? Can you leave a review? And since most Shopify merchants are listening to us, I think that they can agree. They agree with that. It's like whenever you contact support and they reply fast and they have the answer quickly and they fix your problem, then you're more likely to leave a review and to leave a good one. Because you had this kind of, you know, good happiness and you're happy that they fixed it, and so you can leave the review. So this is what we do. Whenever someone contacts our support, we fix it and we ask for a review. And in the beginning, sometimes people tell me, I don't have any conversations, I don't have any bugs, people don't contact my support. And so this is what I said.
That's
create
a tough
bugs.
Space to be in. I agree. I've had exactly the experience you described. The person who reaches out and goes, I have an issue, can you help? And then you fix it. those are the people who leave the best reviews.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. This is the best time. And when you don't have enough conversation, you can create your problems. I don't mean that you have to create bugs on your app. What I mean is that you can contact the people even if they don't contact you. So like you have the live chat, for example, in the app. They open the app. You send a message. Hey, I just saw that you opened the app. Can I help you with something? Or, hey, I see that you spent some time on this page. Do you have any problem? And so you go after the problem so that they can tell you, hey, yeah, I'm trying to do this. I don't understand. I don't know how to do it. And so you can help them. And then they will leave the review. So you create your own conversations. This is a good way when you're just starting. And this is what we did in the beginning. We were connecting every single people, every single person that was installing the app. Because that way we can have conversation, we can have some feedback, and we can get this review.
Yeah. Again, I mean, early on, you're like, hey, the app starts with, you have to talk to people and figure out pain or problem. And now it's like, hey, what about reviews? Well, you need to talk to people. Hey, what about features and upgrades? Yeah, you need to talk to people. That's everything. Like you can't hide from your customer, right? You can't wait for them to contact you. You have to be actively seeking out and engaging them. And this has got to be true of any business. You share your whole experience with running Shopify apps online, and you've got a community of people, and you've developed an audience. But the audience is not necessarily your customers. It's Shopify app developers. It's prospective Shopify app developers. Why? You know, what motivates you to do it?
Yeah, because at that time, I'm not even selling anything to them. Maybe I will in the future. I don't know. But right now, I'm not selling anything. It's been 2 years since I started to post online. I'm even creating some free content with free products and stuff. But the only thing is that when I started in 2017, I didn't find anything about building Shopify apps. It means that I had to figure out everything by myself. I failed. I tried some other things. So the reason why I'm doing that is that, and this is what I say, and I love that sentence, is just, I want to be the guy I wanted to meet when I started. This is the first thing. So that's why I'm sharing everything, just to show people what I did so that they can do the same. The second thing is that, I wanted to write contents. And in the beginning, I wanted to write content about e-commerce, obviously to attract users for my apps. But the only thing is that I wasn't a merchant. And I don't know, sharing online about e-commerce when I wasn't doing it, it wasn't naturally for me. And I didn't want to do it, but I still wanted to share content. And I love building apps. I knew a lot of things. So I just say, if I have to share online, it will be about building apps. And so that's why I started. And I decided to share everything because I wanted to be transparent, because I wanted people to see like the struggles, the numbers, and how everything was done, to be the guy I wanted to meet when I started. But actually, it helped me. So I started 2 years ago, a bit more than 2 years ago. And even if I thought that I wasn't going to get some customers and it wasn't going to help my business, it did. Because first of all, I have some good relationship with Shopify. It helps always. Second thing is, it's easy for me today to get some partnerships. So we grow a lot through partnerships. We do partnerships with other Shopify apps. And today, when I contact some Shopify apps and ask them, hey, do you want to make a partnership? Sometimes they will say, oh, I know you from Twitter. And when people know you from Twitter or from somewhere else, it's easier to get a partnership with them. So this is the other reason. It's easier to get the partnerships. And I did get some users from Twitter and from LinkedIn, just because even if I'm talking about building apps, Shopify apps, I'm still talking about the Shopify ecosystem. So I still attract a few merchants. And so I've had some people installing my app that way. And then the other reason is that this is something that people can't take from me. I mean, I can always have my account banned or something or being hacked or I don't know. But when you're building your audience and building your personal brand, this is something that people can't really take from you, and it will always help you. Whenever, if I sell my Shopify apps and I want to build something else, then I would still have that audience that I can use to build something. And so I think it can help you. And this is why I would recommend everyone to start building an audience and start posting online. And the only thing you have to do is talk about the things you're currently doing.
I love this advice. There is not an immediate direct outcome. You're not being like, well, this is the ROI. This is, you know, the data that says I should do this. It's, I'm building a personal brand. I'm building an audience. Most importantly, I am building goodwill with people, right? Just being out there and being helpful will help you in the long run. That's great. I love it.
This is definitely that.
Yeah. So, and this is inspiring. You're very successful. I'm impressed. I want to know, where can I learn more about you? How can I connect with you? What community should I be joining? Where are you on social media? Lay it on me.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much everywhere. So you can go on X, which is Twitter. You can go on X. You tap DSMATIE. You can find my content online. This is where I'm the most active. Then you can go on LinkedIn, Matt D'Souza. You can subscribe to my newsletter, where I share every Tuesday what I'm doing. So you get the recap and everything about the week that I did. I do have a Facebook group that you can join, the Shopify App Founders, where you can find other Shopify App Founders building Shopify apps.
I just
started recently a YouTube channel. So same thing, Matt D'Souza, a YouTube channel, where I will start posting long videos about how I'm building the business, same thing, so that I can share a lot.
This is wonderful. In the show notes, I'll include your Twitter or X, LinkedIn, your newsletter, Facebook group, YouTube, and of course, links to your two apps. This has been super helpful. I'm feeling inspired. Matt D'Souza, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.